Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Real Talk, Real Game. Sorry that I am late, but I was watching the news because we've had another high school shooting in Kentucky. 2 killed, 17 injured, and the suspect was captured. So that, in addition to technical issues here, kept me off the air for 10 minutes. And that's what it was about. So as our website comes back up, we'll be ready to go, or ready to go, in about, I hope, 30 seconds.
Even if you think you're doing the right thing by not serving them, you have the integrity to come and face the music and talk to the community and tell us why you think you're doing the right thing, or allow us to weigh in on why we'd like you to do a different thing, right? 520-KJLH, 520-5554, that's the number from any area code. Things that I think are hot topics, you tell me if you think they are. You know, because of the Trump train wreck, we haven't spent much time talking about how in 2017, murders by white supremacists in the United States of America more than doubled. Is that the Trump stuff? And why is no one talking about it? They act like we're just being sensitive when we call the man a white supremacist. You know? Why is it that now we are learning that Latinos are avoiding health services because they don't want to bring health officials' attention to their families? And some of these people might be legal immigrants or people who were born and raised here, but they don't want to raise attention to other members of their family, relatives who could face deportation and more. So what does that mean? Is that the Trump effect? Does that mean you're going to be sitting, your child can be in school sitting next to somebody who hasn't, you know, have the medical care that they need and could have some kind of infectious thing going on that goes on to your kid because they're afraid of ICE? ICE rating 7-Eleven? How racially profile-y is that? And, you know, I know people get mad at me because of my positions on immigration, but at this point I feel like I don't want to get mad because it's time for us to stop being crabs in a barrel, to stop, you know, fighting over problems and look at the big picture, to reclaim our mantle of humanitarianism, okay, I can't talk, but you know what I meant, of humanitarianism, of being global leaders in what is just, correct, moral, right, and good, you know, and that's just not MLK, right? That goes all the way back to M. Tolkien, if you're doing M's. I'm just saying, let's not get caught up in the mindset of scarcity, the reptilian mind. My kid was telling me that Mark Zuckerberg, he doesn't believe Mark Zuckerberg is an actual human being because there was some, I guess there was some data revealed of Zuckerberg saying, you know, how to be, he was trying to learn how to come across as more human. So he thought, maybe he's not a human. Maybe he's some kind of alien. And that made me think of the late Delbert Blair, who used to be on this show in the Carl Nelson days, and I was blessed to interview him, and he rest in peace. And he used to say that certain people were Dracons, lizard alien people. And I think of him and I chuckle when I see people like the Nazi du jour, Stephen Miller in the White House, whispering and hissing their Dracon lies in the ears of one very confused orange man who thinks he's president. And you know, I found out something. Okay, I'll tell you after break. I know, I'm going great. And when we get back, I'll tell you something that I learned from my 13-year-old that made me go, okay, what? Yeah, it's tech stuff, of course. Also, something really interesting from the Pew Research Center has gotten very, very little notice about the difference, the changes in the number of African Americans and Latinos in prison. Love to hear your thoughts about marijuana going legal here in California for recreational purposes. And we've got to talk Super Bowl. Has the Super Bowl been whitewashed? Has the protest been silenced? Has the system been rigged? Doggone it, take a knee. It's the front page, 520-KJLA, 520-5554, Total Talk Expression Radio 3, 102.3-KJLA.
Some people will do anything for ratings. It's gotten to the point where I can't even listen to this foolishness. All over the place with no real logic. You can't be a crab in the bucket and rail against crabs in the bucket. When are we going to stand up for America? Let's call a spade a spade. In case you didn't know, the Russia investigation has moved front and center, and now they have interviewed Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Let's listen in to what CNN has to say.
I like people around the president at times. Director Mueller has enormous respect for the system, for the institutions, respect for the message things send. You don't put the Attorney General of the United States in the witness chair unless you think you absolutely positively need to, right?
Right. You want from Sessions information that you don't think you can get elsewhere, and that's why he spoke to him.
And do you believe, central to the question, Sessions obviously did have some 2016 contacts. He says maybe I didn't disclose them fully, maybe I wasn't transparent as I should have been, but they were nothing. They were minor meetings. So obviously that's one issue. Is the bigger issue in your mind the Comey firing and the potential obstruction of justice?
That's, I made a list of about eight things that I think the Tyler Mueller I want to speak to Sessions about, and obstruction surely is one of them, and perhaps foremost among them. How did it come to pass that Comey was asked for loyalty? How did it come to pass that Comey was fired? How did it come to pass that Priebus and others were asked to intervene, at least publicly, with respect to the information that was coming out about this investigation. There's a lot about that which only Sessions has direct knowledge of.
And Michael covering the White House every day. What is your sense of what this does? Is it Jeff Sessions was there just yesterday. He met with the president. We don't know. Sarah Sanders says the press secretary, she doesn't know if they discussed his testimony to the special counsel. But we do know that this is a relationship that was once a very close friendship from the campaign that has turned into a great deal of tension, with the president furious at Jeff Sessions for refusing himself and not liking other things. What does it say to the president? What do we expect from the president when he hears my national security counsel chief is now cooperating with General Flynn? Now my attorney tells him the witness here.
Well, I think we talked to the president a little bit about this a couple of weeks ago in our interview in the Oval Office. And as you know, he said there's no obstruction and there's no collusion, and therefore there cannot be obstruction since there is no collusion. I will say the White House has done a pretty good job of kind of containing this. To see the White House's reaction, to see Trump's reaction, I don't think the place to look necessarily at Sanders or the press shop, but his attorney. And we saw Jay Sekulow last night on Hannity, and he wasn't talking about Sessions' interview, he wasn't talking about Mueller. What they're pivoting now to are these missing emails from the FBI agents. And, you know, he's likening that to Watergate, say, his quote last night was that 5 months of missing text messages is a lot longer than 18 minutes of missing tape during Watergate. So they're trying to, you know, divert attention to this issue and a little bit away from
and we can't connect the dots, Karen, but if you look at the politics of that, and we went through this covering the Clinton-Lewinsky scandal where, you know, for all the Democrats now screaming at the Republicans, why are you discrediting the investigator, why are you attacking the FBI, the Clinton White House did that as well during the Monica Lewinsky investigation, the idea being that I always say they know more than we do. So when the president of the United States or the president's legal team starts doing something, I'm always trying to get to the motive of it. And so are you trying to discredit, raise questions about the integrity, the impartiality, the fairness of the investigators at a very time you know this investigation is reaching an important crossroads?
Of course. And we also have seen, I mean, the pattern has been that when things get closer to the president, he's been pretty disciplined during the shutdown. But when things start getting closer to him, that's when we have these eruptions. And in Donald Trump's view, the original sin in all of this was Jeff Sessions' decision to recuse himself.
In Donald Trump's view, yes. Even though it falls. And one of the issues here is, number one, is just Comey firing, as Michael laid out, I think, quite clearly and very well. The questions about that, why would he have to pledge loyalty? What do you know about them? Pull them off of the Oval Office? How this happened? Jeff Sessions, remember, wrote a memo as part of that, even though he recused himself in the Russia investigation, helped write a memo that led to the firing of the guy leading the Russia investigation at the time. There was also the question, you remember this from the situation on Capitol Hill. The Russia investigation at the time. There was also the question, you remember this from the situation on Capitol Hill from his company.
Question of whether or not he is doubling down on obstruction, although he has recused himself, and trying to investigate Obama and Clinton and the Clinton Foundation is, in fact, obstruction. Trying to undermine the investigator is obstruction. This is totally different than Monica Lewinsky. Totally different. Because Bill Clinton didn't break any laws by getting his rocks off with an intern or a White House aide. He may have broken some civility issues with regard to being faithful to your wife, or some protocol issues, but he did not break any laws. Nor did he sexually harass Monica Lewinsky, because they were both willing participants in that act. The thing here is that nobody knew that the Mueller team actually talked to Jeff Sessions. This happened maybe 2 weeks ago. So while we've all been distracted by the DACA debate and the budget issue, work continues. I'm going to take another break and be back.
Capitol Hill from his confirmation testimony, he couldn't recall or didn't disclose some of his meetings with the Russian ambassador. And then the coffee boy, as they call him in Trump land, George Papadopoulos, cut the plea agreement. And as part of that, he says that he was in a meeting with the attorney general as during the campaign in which he said, you know, we need to reach out to Russia. We need to have some communications with Russia. Jeff Sessions' memory on that, as on several other issues, involved some.
I had no recollection of this meeting until I saw these news reports. I do now recall that the March 2016 meeting at the Trump Hotel that Mr. Papadopoulos attended, but I have no clear recollection of the details of what he said at that meeting.
That has frustrated the Democrats as part of the congressional, whether it's the confirmation hearing or the oversight hearing, so they bring the attorney general back. If he either doesn't recall or his memory evolves, he's in a different setting when he's sitting down with the special counsel.
Yeah, and I think that's why perhaps it's unusual that the FBI is, you know, sitting down with their boss, and that's a very awkward conversation, an awkward interview. But, of course, it was to be expected. I mean, Sessions is at the heart of a lot of these questions. He was in the room talking to the president when, you know, he was considering if he's going to fire Comey because he didn't like the Russia probe. Right now, I feel like we have sort of a tale of two Washingtons where you have the FBI obviously sticking to, you know, their probe and continuing in the direction, getting closer and closer to the president. And then in Washington, or on Capitol Hill, I should say, Republicans close to President Trump, totally tuning that out. They really are focusing on these text messages. I can tell you over the weekend during the shutdown, when I was covering that, I heard a lot of House Republicans talking about missing text messages between two FBI employees that they said, you know, had anti-Trump sentiments and actually were removed from the Russia probe. And so they are really winnowing in on that. And it's like, you know, two parallel tracks that don't overlap.
I would say at that point that if they have clear evidence, not cherry-picked evidence of that, they should present it to the American people. But the problem for them is that Devin Nunes' name is the one at the top of the memo. It's going to be immediately suspect because he was, forgive me, a Trump lapdog early in this investigation doing things as part of that. So if you have this, if it's important, do it in a fair and impartial way and involve Democrats and lay it out in the public. If you do it as a Republican-only enterprise, you're going to end up in this type of politics if it gets there. I want to come back to the Attorney General because this is the nation's top law enforcement official being interviewed essentially by a man who has his powers. Bob Mueller essentially gets the power of the Attorney General when you get named to be special counsel. What privilege does the Attorney General have? Can he look at Bob Mueller and say, that's a private conversation with the president about the Comey firing or about anything else? I'm not going to tell you.
So if Mueller stands in the place of the judiciary when he issues a grand jury subpoena, and then you have your separation of powers, and that's when the executive privilege can be asserted, but it has to be asserted with respect to policy considerations between the executive and the president. I don't think that is going to, and then you have the United States Constitution, which says in the face of a grand jury subpoena in a criminal investigation, that privilege falls. So I don't think he really, in the end of the day, if he had to go to court and contest a subpoena for his testimony, he prevails. It's pretty straightforward stuff now that Mueller will have the opportunity to get the testimony that he needs from Flynn. From Sessions. I said Flynn because I was thinking of my next point, which is, what would be interesting also, Don, is what is Flynn and Papadopoulos?
Now, here's the thing. Papadopoulos' fiance said this morning that the shoe is going to drop and way more information is about to come out. Somebody's lying, folks. And your attorney general is suspect.
Thank you. And I got Sam when I was about 24 or something like that at the Long Beach Jazz Festival. And so I'm glad I got a chance to see it. But you know, what I wanted to talk about was black superhero movies and TV shows that are out there. Black Lightning's going to go on tomorrow. Or today, later on tonight. And I think we all should support it. It seems to be a pretty good show. They're pretty authentic to black life. And, you know, look at David, he always talks about black movies and there aren't enough of this and kind of that. But this is an attempt to check that out. But yeah, we all should check it out.
I haven't seen Black Lightning. It's a black superhero, right? Everyone's talking about this, but this is not a new show, right?
It is.
Oh, it is a new show? Okay.
Yeah, it's a new show. And I think it's Channel 5, I believe.
He's going to be retired, and then he comes back to being a superhero.
Exactly.
Well, CW has a history of coming up using, you know, African-American shows, which I'm not mad at. It creates opportunity for us. Everyone's excited about Black Panther. Love that. And so Black Lightning is a thing.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to watch it.
Yeah, it has all black writers. And you don't see that.
Oh, this is Mara Brockett-Keel. I'm looking it up. Yeah, Sully McNeil and Mara Brockett-Keel. Who have created many a black couple who have created many a successful show. Yeah. Wow, I did not realize that.
Well, I'll put that out there. Let everybody know, check it out. And I can't wait for them to make a black, there's an X-Man, the strongest X-Man is Bishop. And hopefully I'll make a movie, well, make one episode about him one of these days in the X-Men series.
Yeah,
not
okay.
Much, but I was a comic book kid.
And you know what? I was too, but I was, well, sadly, I didn't get into that one. But let me say that you're right, because we vote at the box office, so if this movie makes a lot of money, there'll be more. I mean, it's like Get Out, right? Get Out, which is made for under 5 million, goes over 100 million worldwide, and now, you know, the Twilight Zone series is coming to pass, and, you know, and more, and more movies will be coming to pass. Because we didn't just talk about it on the front page, we came out and voted with our dollars, right? So I think that's well said. I will vote. Having said that, though, if it's really bad, I'm sorry. I won't go. I'm Jordan Peele as the director, right? You know, I'm sorry. My militants end that your show is crap. I'm sorry. I need it to be black, and I need it to be good.
Yeah, I think it'll be good.
I think so.
You know, Sean King did, right?
Yeah.
He did a piece on district attorneys, and there's not many blacks, and then the few blacks that there are, there's only a couple that are actually prosecuting police, and she's not on it. I'm going to really point it to it, and I'll get back to you on it. But I just wanted to make you aware somebody is actually taking a poll and writing articles about this attorney to not do anything.
Sean King is a writer. He writes for, I think, the Daily News, and I follow him on Twitter. He's an activist. He's been involved in boycott movements, including even Black Lives Matter. He does the show The Young Turks. He writes for the Daily Causes and more. Went to Morehouse. Quite a brilliant young man. Thank you. Appreciate your call. There's so many black shows now. You know, like, if I could just, like, get paid to sit home and eat popcorn and watch shows all day, that'd be fun. Just sit up maybe in between my popcorn and candy. But there's so many good shows. I'm happy to see This Is Us getting recognized. Really good acting on that show. Some good writing on the show as well. I'm happy to see this new one, I guess, even though there's controversy here in the studio. Oh, Bobo, you wanted to say something? Go ahead.
Oh, no. What I was going to say is Black Lightning, it looks pretty good. Like, I watched the first episode, and it actually looks pretty good. I do support it, but the Black Lightning and the Marvel, they're two different universes. It's one of DC with Black Lightning, and Bishop, who he was talking about, is actually Marvel with X-Men. And they actually did do a piece on Bishop, which was in X-Men, So the Days of Future Past, he had a part on there. It wasn't a big part, but he was on there. And they are, I'm noticing, because I'm a big comic head and superhero nut, they are starting to make a lot more African-American comic book heroes and TV shows, because they're noticing that we are watching them and we are paying attention. Like,
and we watch them. Yeah,
we do. Especially like
the stuff. Black Spider-Man, what's his name? He's after Lucky.
Oh, Miles Morales.
Yeah, my son loves that, as the little Afro-Latino that he is.
And they're making him share universes, too. So there's still a Peter Parker Spider-Man, but there's also a Miles Morales Spider-Man. So it's not just like they take one in and take one out. Like, the new Ghost Rider is actually Latino from South Central L.A. The name is Jimmy Reyes or something like that.
And the thing about that is that just like real life, we share universes, and just because one comes up, another one doesn't have to go away.
Exactly.
So I think that's a good thing. Thank you for that comic book update, Bobo. Why does that not surprise me that you would know that? but, you know, everyone's excited about Black Panther, and I think that is going to determine a lot. That's going to open doors or slam them shut for other projects. I think open doors, because it's already breaking sales records. And hasn't even come out yet. Go to Lawrence calling us from Glendale. Hi, Lawrence. Lawrence, are you still there? Testing 1-2.
Anonymous.
Oh, this is anonymous? Okay.
Hi, good morning. Lawrence, where are you?
All right, speak up for me. You sound like you're just waking up.
There's so many things I can touch on right now.
Okay, we'll pick one. Let's do it.
Okay, Mayor Brooks.
All right. We ain't gonna wait all day, Lawrence. What do you want to say?
Spent my whole life trying to find the light that's at the end of the tunnel. I should've realized it was inside. So lately I've been trying to get what's inside outside. So many people want to see my insides outside. I'm from that city 4 hours east to south side, where everyone outside but don't fuck with no outside. It's going up with the ones I hold it down with. Whole city got my back on some photobomb shit. Whole city blowing up on some most of down shit. Before this I was the one host tried to go to prime with. You know, take the fame, take the crib, take our cars. Now we gotta take the train. Hood niggas taking chains. Slave master take our names. 5-0 take the shot and young souls take the blame, man. But they can't take away the light.
No matter how much they gon' shame
no.
You.
Man, they can't fuck with the light.
They can't knock
light.
The shine.
They can't fuck with the light. Hell no, the boy's that bright. Even if you take away my life, you can't take the light.
No matter how much they gon' shame.
Got the whole city on fire. Boy, this the flow that got Steph Curry inspired. This the flow that got LeBron James finna rewire. This the flow that got my whole family finna retire. Flows on flows, I might drown in this bitch. Yay, found a pro, I guess I'm profound in this bitch. My dad from Louisiana, man, the smallest town. Where if they know you're brown, they might hold you down and even hold you down, man. Since I'm a son, I feel like I gotta stunt hard. I took the hand that they gave me and played the Donald Trump card. I realized counting money never feel as good as counting blessings. And a load of mine is more dangerous than a load of weapons. So when they take the fame, take the crib, take our cars, now we gotta take the train. And hood niggas taking chains. Slave master take our names. 5-0 take the shot and young souls take the blame. And that they can't take away the light.
No matter how much they gon' shame
nah.
You.
Man, they can't fuck with the light.
They can't knock the shine.
Nope, they can't fuck with the light. Hell no, the boy's that bright. Even if you take away my life, you can't take the light.
No matter how much they gon' shame you. Don't let them take away your soul. No, no. Don't let them take away what makes you whole.
Again. And then when I moved here to LA and they didn't have my team on TV, I kind of moved away from football. And also then I got a kid and I got really busy and, you know, I just didn't have time. It used to be you couldn't call me on Sunday. So if I was watching my 49ers, I would not answer the phone. I don't want to talk to you unless you're watching the game with me. But, I admit I rarely watch football anymore, even though I enjoy it. I just don't have time. But, of course, we all have watched the controversy with Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid and others who have called attention to injustice in our country, the racial disparities in policing and other injustices by the protests of the national anthem, by the positive work that they've done. Colin Kaepernick is a 10 for 10. He donates $10,000 to a cause and is matched by another person of clout in our community, who also is a caring individual. I'm reading on Twitter that Serena Williams just stepped up with $10,000 to match $10,000 that she has challenged him to give to a Los Angeles community-based organization. All of this has created momentum, created controversy, some people boycotting the NFL because of their racist policies, because of the fact that there's almost no black ownership, leadership, because of the fact that they have iced out Colin Kaepernick. Many people feel that because of his leadership off the field as a community activist, he has been blacklisted, if you will, from the NFL. And so when I saw this article, which I posted on Facebook, and by the way, on Facebook or Radio Free KHLH or Front Page Show, I saw this article about what if we to the Super Bowl this year are free of players that have been real symbols in this movement, which has spread not just with football now, but the soccer and the Olympics and volleyball and from the Pee Wee League all the way up to the pros. None of those vocal folks are in the Super Bowl. And then the team names, the Patriots and the Eagles. It feels like the part of the NFL striking the ball in our faces, saying, you know what, take your little Black Lives Matter, you take a knee, you stand for something, and go sit down and eat some Cheetos and watch our $2 million commercial because we run this plantation. That's how it feels to me. Now, you know, ratings are down, and we know that the NFL owners, for all of their fake acquiescence to the players, saying they're donating money and then taking the money they're donating from another charity and moving it over to the players' charity, supposedly, what they've really done is PR and damage control. And meanwhile, trying to continually ice out a Kaepernick and spread false information like the fact that they're insulting troops that, you know, which was never the reason. In fact, we know that Kaepernick consulted with a veteran to find out what was a respectful way to protest. And then it just seems oh so coincidental. It just seems oh so coincidental that, you know, this team, America's team, the infamously cheating Patriots, I don't know. Is it a coincidence? Well, you know, the root ask, why would the NFL want them to be in a Super Bowl? But I'm thinking the symbolism of the name, the fact that, you know, again, we've had some players that have set themselves up as the anti-Kaepernick. Is it just me? 5:40 in the morning, taking your phone calls all the way up until 6 o'clock when we pass the mic to Steve Hart. Is that all that a coincidence? Is it all a coincidence? Or is it like Coach E says, that they kind of do manipulate the winners and the losers? Some people were rather surprised that the officiating, you know, in the Patriots the last game. You know, again, I'm not an expert on football, but I know a thing or two about America. And I've got a PhD in common sense. As the writer of the Root says, Michael Harriet says, I think the NFL just got super lucky. He says the fact that billionaires have spent $100 million to make protests disappear might spend a few more dollars for referees. You say that, you sound stupid. And he says, and please don't show me that video of the refs congratulating Brady after the quarterback threw the game-winning touchdown. Things that make you go, 5:41 in the morning, it's front page, 5:2, okay, Dylan.
Well, if you watched the damn game, you saw Amendola catch the damn ball. I mean, you had your play. See, this is why I said over a year ago, you don't sit out none of this. You can't be concerned just about Colin Kaepernick. You know how much African-American wealth is traded every Sunday, every Thursday night, every Monday night, every Saturday during playoffs? You would want to know what's going on with all of these games. The fact of the matter is that all of the playoff games I watch, it was average ref play calling. It was not nothing too egregious the last 2 weeks. I didn't see it. But I did see, and I had a long conversation yesterday with GRX, the fact that the Jaguars should not have lost the game if they would have kept playing at the same intensity level. Something happened. I did say to GRX yesterday that I felt as if the Gronkowski call was a targeting helmet to helmet, and I really do need to say that the NFL needs to sideline both players, the guy who hit and the guy who received the hit, and both players need to go into protocol, shouldn't they? For two reasons. One is because both are concussive, whether you are moving with the force or receiving the force of the blow. It's still a concussive hit. If you're in a car accident going 400 miles an hour and you hit a brick wall, you're still going to get a concussion, even though you're moving. So the defensive tackler moving at his rate of speed head first into somebody else moving at a rate of speed, they both need to go into protocol, first off. Secondly, they need to both stay in protocol, and the defensive player should also be penalized by not being allowed to come back into the game in the event that it was a targeted play. So you can lose your best receiver, best running back, best player just by some devil deciding to target him with a blow to the head. You see what I'm saying? Now, when they lost their star player, it was still not in the bag for Brady. Brady won the game at the end of the third quarter, in my opinion. But what are we really saying? We have a problem with patriotism and the symbol of the American Eagle. Good Lord Almighty. I need to hear Pastor Saul's right now from Holman Methodist United. Good Lord Almighty. Is that what this is about? The Kaepernick is a non-issue because he won. The ratings are low. They're losing money. Hello? Hello? Kaepernick actually did what he tried to do, which is hit him in the pocketbook. Then they're going to retaliate with him, but he's going to be okay. He's going to have a brighter future now, and I believe a greater future. Fuck football, straight up. Fuck sports. Go back and get your doctorate degree, God damn it. Get a PhD in PhDism.
Yo, 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 you know what this is, boy, for real, the art of getting robbed, this is how we do, Brooklyn style, boy, you know what I'm saying?
R.I.P., B.I.D., nigga, R.I.P., P.H.D., R.I.P., enough of that shit, it's time to hold this one time. Hey, yo, the bottom line is, I'm a crook with a deal. If my record don't sell, I'm a rob and steal. You better recognize, nigga, I'm straight from the street. These industry niggas are starting to look like something to eat. I snatch Kim, tell Puff, you want to see her again? Dance your ass down to the nearest ATM. I have dreams of fucking the R&B bitch. But I wake up early and bounce with all her shit when I apply pressure. Son, it ain't even funny. I'm about to stick Bobby for some of that Whitney money. Brian McKnight, I could get the nigga anytime. Have keep sweating, staring down the barrel with my 9. 50s Harlem World niggas seem to all be fam. I put the gun to Cardan, tell him, tell your man, Macy Vetta. Come up off that watch now. I mean, right now, the only excuse for being broke is being in jail. An entertainer can't make bail, he broke as hell. I rob ODB, but that'd be a waste of time. Probably have to clap him, running toss to 9. I follow Fox in a drop for 4 blocks. Plotting the jokes up for that rock, corrupt cop. What nigga just sold, like 4 million? Got something to live for. Don't want a nigga putting foe through that Bentley coupe dough. I manhandle case like dope, get on the ground. You ain't with Mary no more, where you getting chips from now? I've been scheming on Tone and Poke since they found me. Steve don't have to wear that platinum shit around me. I'm a klepto, not for real, son, I'm sick. I'm about to stick slick break for all that old school shit. Right now I'm bent, when I get like this I don't think about to make Stevie J take off that tight ass mink. A raw pun without a gun. Snatch his piece and run. This nigga weigh 400 pounds. I ain't gonna catch me, son. Huh? I catch P and Silk the Shaka right after the Grammys, and Will Smith and Jada ass down in Miami. Run up on Timberland and Missy with the pound, like, you give me the cash, you put the hot dog down. I figured it out, niggas been robbing Joe before. That's why his ass don't wanna be a player no more. My attitude, I robbing JD, fuck you, pay me. Had to brat with him, shoulda had his dad with him. DMX wanna get down? Well, you tell homie. I'm on that trench shit, I do my dirt all by my lonely. I should rob Clue, man, this shit did well. I wanna stick TQ, but this shit ain't sell. I hit the studios, take niggas' shoes and leave. Catch Ray Ghost and RZA for them funny ass rings. Tell Sticky, give me the cash for an MP3. I beat your ass like that white boy on MTV. Cannabis wanna battle while I'm sticking them up. Fuck the cab, the coroner's picking them up. Heavy tried to hide his shit. Hey, nigga, I saw you. He said, why you robbing me? I got nothing but love for you. I called Juvenile for his cash money piece. Told him I want it all. He said, even my gold teeth. I caught Black Street on a back street in the black Jeep. One at a time. Get out and take off your shine. Did you ever think that you would be this rich? Did you ever think that you would have these hits? Did you ever think that I'd flash the nine and walk off with your shit like it's mine? I'ma keep sticking niggas until I'm living. I rob boys to men like I'm Michael Bivens. Catch Tyson for half that cash like Robin Givens. I'm hungry for real, I'm about to stick Mr. C. That nigga still eating off Big First LP. I had busted a whole flip mode on the flow. He asked me if I had enough, I told him, give me some more. If you feeling this, then wait for the sequel. I gotta get Kirk Franklin for robbing God's people. War.
Pop low, take your shirt off, wait. this my passion. School of hard knocks. I took night classes. You don't want no problem, want no problem with me. My soda pulled up, my walls up. I'm flipping those bucks, they do it so tough. I roll up and let the smoke puff. I lay down toes up, hold up. Get too choked up when I think of old stuff. Move on, put my goons on, they kidnap newborns. In the streets, my face a coupon, her pussy too warm. All these bitches come to do harm, just bought a new charm. Fuck a watch, I buy your new arm, you lukewarm. I'm over loop with the hoes. Pretty bitches in the foes, tipping toes around my crib. In they rows, just they rows. Half a million in the safe, another in the pillowcase. Codeine got me moving slower than a caterpillar race. But run with you, what you were thinking, what you thought it was. I just pop out Percocets and only caught a buzz. And if that label try to stop me, they gon' be some crazy Weezy fans waiting in the lobby. More like that. You don't want no problem, want no problem with me.
I think that the golden era, as they quote it, both the consumers and the artists should start building development programs for artists. You know, artists, for instance, with equipment, most music equipment, most people plug and play when they come to a situation. They're not learning how to connect wires and how situations talk. There's education in how we came up. And we're building our own systems. You know, some of this music equipment wasn't made for hip-hop. It wasn't made to fit turntables. You know, we created things. So we're not allowing enough creative space for them by letting them just ride the shortcut. And that goes with the writing, you know, the quality of production. You know, how do you produce a music now that pushes off your elder generations? It's not even attractive to us. You know, it's same tempo, it's one dimensional. You know, when I listen to my mother's records, they were more dimensional. You know, I can go from Johnny Mathis to Barbara Streisand to Marvin Gaye. I had a vision, more of a vision than a one dimensional situation. So if we take the time to have patience and create, you know, the glue between the bricks, you know what I'm saying? I think we can start to build a bridge back, you know what I'm saying, to have a common ground with the generation, because eventually the baton will have to be passed one way or the other, where at least we have some say-so, you know, and what's happening with the generation as far as for their own safety and protection. So
where did the gap come from?
The direction that hip-hop should take.
Yes, sir. How did we get the gap?
For many reasons. I mean, we talk about how Tupac fought, for instance. You know, we were disturbed that we as a movement couldn't raise the money to get him out of jail, to build him, you know, to get him back into our set. You know, Blood from California freed Tupac, or the son, you know, Son of Matulu, you know,
right.
Son of Afeni, you know, it's like, how in the world? So I can imagine the generation watching that could be very disturbed to couldn't even rise up to get our own out. I got to be loyal to those who are going to get me out of a situation. So we gotta build our support systems back to let them know that they truly can be protected in our houses while they're conditioning and healing and resetting. You know what I'm saying? We gotta let them know that they're safe, and then that bridge can start building back. Right now, they don't feel safe in the movement. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Everybody tries to tear down the movements, all these efforts that people have put out for years and dedication and time, and just wipe it off as something that doesn't get paid or, you know, it's not as exciting as watching, you know, MTV Cribs or whatever case may be. Come on, man. Mm. You know, I mean, is that where it weighs? We have to show them where the value lies. Like we spoke about the value of the sisters, you know, the pricelessness and so on. We have to show them where that value lies and how to apply it. They don't know how to apply it. They can say it to themselves all day. I'm a king, I'm a queen, I'm this, I'm that. How do they apply that? And I think an example of how to apply it, you know, I think it would be a better situation. You know, just in my opinion, I don't know everything.
Well, you know, I sure don't. Well, you know, that's one thing I'm thinking about is, and what is the definition of queen to some people, right? Because
correct.
Some people think that if you're giving me a lot of money, you put me on a pedestal. But what pedestal, right? I mean, I think terminologies exactly. need to be cleared, and you know, there's a lot of, I hear my daughter say it a lot now, cultural appropriation, different things like yeah. that, but it's all, I think it goes back to getting to the root, right, or getting back to our roots, Brother Jay?
Yes. Yes, I agree. Because, you know, at the end of the day, sis, young people want to live. And if we're telling them, come back to understand what a queen is. A queen embraces her wellness, embraces, you know, giving to her surrounding environment, and it comes back, as you know, in a reciprocity manner, you know, showing them how that's more valuable than all the gold in the world. Then whatever you need to survive will come from that once you're alive from that. You know what I mean? If they're with that guidance all the time, and it's hard because how do you dedicate yourself to all these lost people? You know what I'm saying? It will take the village to make this happen, but the village doesn't get along. The village want to debate about history and whose system is better and whose word or leadership or spokesman is better and all of this other thing. We are so much in turmoil, but we want our seeds to be in peace. It's backwards.
You know that it is backwards. You made me think about this. How much, Brother Jay, do you think of that is ignorance? How much of that do you think is ego? And how much of that do you think is infiltration?
I think it's ego that eventually will let the infiltration in, you know, because once we're fighting, you can't see what's coming in the back door.
Nah.
Feel me? And we shouldn't be fighting at all. There shouldn't be an ego swell. You know, that's the one thing that we should have left at the door when we stepped through into commitment. You know, and this is order talk. This is for people who have been in situations as it is a regiment for their lifestyle that's been in them for generations. It's like when we're fighting and bickering with silly elements and pettiness, it's easy for infiltration to enter. Otherwise, our security is solid.
Mm.
You know, you know, when the movement was sucker free, that was a great time. And then when it gets to where people elevate and evolve and feel like, you know, it's time for me to leave the house or the school and maybe start something new. Does it mean that you're better than from for you to function off as a branch of what it is? Well, in that moment. But we're so Americanized and strange value who the leader is and who this is instead of we have someone that speaks on our behalf that we trust. And that's it. It's not a worship, it's a respect that he can pull out the communication in a place where I may not have it. Understand what that humbleness is. This generation doesn't understand that humbleness. They mistake that for worshiping people or idolatry. You they don't understand respect. Again, it's a strange time where we have to teach things that are common sense.
Yeah,
you know, it's very difficult. And all we can do is continue to try because, you know, that's what all our music and everything about. This is what this conversation is about, your radio show, everything.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, where the solution is going to lie, but it's not going to happen until we start getting along. We take unity for granted when we say it. It's the easiest thing to say right now. We don't trust each other on any level.
Wow.
And whatever that trust measurement is, we're going to have to be clear with what that is and agree upon it and get to work because we will lose this generation completely.
We can't lose another one, Brother Jay. We're going to leave it there and make way for the Hutchinson Report with Dr. Earl O'Farrell.
Turn the speakers up, honey. Yo, God. Yo, God. Yo, I got
like me. To see me is gonna take a miracle. I'm driving motherfuckers hysterical with a touch of this twister, stylistic mixture. What I create pulsate. There is no escape. Annihilate your mental mind state. They label my vocabulary abusive. I pack more knowledge than Confucius. I'm deadly and do shit like Medusa. With thoughts to share the niggas throughout this hemisphere, far and near. Prepare, catch me chilling like the winner. Up against the number one contender as I enter. Cause I get heated like friction. Motherfucker, your whole jurisdiction. React, it's fact, not fiction. Telepathic addiction to this homicidal recital. Dangerous and vital to all my rivals. Suicidal brainwaves conveys through the average motherfucker's mind these days. I'm all ready to put work in. Take 10 steps and turn and shoot the first nigga smirking. Give a fuck, what's your name? What's your claim? Or why you came? Motherfucker, don't explain. Simply, don't tip me. Cause I'm simply legging hoes like Simply, the invincible MC. Boy, knock to his knees, verbally useless. Oh, you got the juice? I squeeze it juiceless. The barbaric, versatile, you know kin of me, so how the fuck you inherit my style? Now, off the clear blue sky, I can't deny, now the day goes by, don't get high, don't ask why. Tonight's the night for me to rip microphones into bits and pieces. Lyrical telekinesis, get me in the verbally vindictive. Violent vocabulary vibe to existence. Catch me in the pitch black path. I sit and let the sick thoughts pass through my mental till I hear an instrumental. Then detrimental verbal get to spitting. The highest the intellect try connecting with the written. Now they face with the forbidden. Vocally chosen to explore new terrains then remain unseen. Throughout the war dips like a Lolo. With my verbal fofo. The cocoa complexion MC with the slow flow. Show. I take it to you from the dough. Motherfucker, mentally I go hardcore. I disconnect you, corrupt you. MC to vocally void your whole molecular structure. Catastrophic, mystic as missile flick. Hitting MCs like pits, the deadliest lyricist. New York, big city, your dream. And everything in New York ain't always what it takes. You might get fooled, you think I'm from out of town. But I'm held by law, and I'm on the dough. Everything in New York ain't always what it says. You might get old, but was the night I served 1,000 MCs live, baby. None can fuck with the DPG. A day, I bust rhymes and recite in ways that make you see you stop in daylight. I'm the deadliest MC you wanna see on the streets. Invincibility is what makes me complete, compete. Nah, you can't even fade me. I fuck you, your mama, your auntie, and your lady.
You're listening to Black Noise Radio, real talk, real game.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. And thank you for joining us for what promises to be an excellent day of discussions on the ethos and profession of intelligence. This is the first of its kind conference for CIA, which we are very excited about. Being at first, we had our first tweet last Friday, which we're also very excited about. Who knows, one of these days we may get our first positive press story, which will really excite us. Now, on behalf of all of us at CIA, we are indeed very fortunate to have this tremendous concentration of talent at Georgetown University, just down the river from our own campus. And I want to thank President DeGioia and everyone at Georgetown University for hosting us today, with special thanks to Professor Bruce Hoffman, Director of the Security Studies Program at the Edmund S. Walsh School of Foreign Service. Bruce worked very hard along with CIA's Office of Public Affairs planning this event. I am grateful to everyone at Georgetown and at CIA who put this conference together. I also deeply appreciate the generosity of the George T. Kolaris Intelligence Studies Fund in sponsoring today's proceedings. And it is indeed an honor to have George's son, Thomas, with us today in the audience. Thank you, Thomas, for being here. Finally, I want to express my personal appreciation to the distinguished panelists who will be participating in the discussions. Thank you all for taking the time out of your busy schedules to share your wisdom and insights. We have a terrific lineup for you today. Our four panels will be covering topics of profound importance to the intelligence profession. We will start off with intelligence and technology, followed by a discussion of intelligence and the private sector. Our third panel will address the role of intelligence in the 21st century. And we'll close with perhaps the most difficult issue of all, striking a balance between secrecy and openness in today's society. So thank you all again for being here. And I know our agency will benefit greatly from the discussions, and I hope that all of you will too. I look forward to returning this afternoon to deliver some remarks and to take your questions. But now it is my great pleasure and distinct honor to introduce a remarkable public servant as well as a great friend to provide the opening remarks. As you all know, Bob Mueller served as FBI director for 12 years before retiring in 2013. Throughout his tenure, Bob was a transformative leader, an outstanding partner to CIA, and a source of wise counsel to leaders across the intelligence community. Through it all, he set the highest standards of integrity and lived up to them every day. It was a great pleasure for me to be able to work with Bob in the earliest years of his tenure. And also, I had the honor to work with Bob in his last 5 years as FBI director.
And at all times, Bob embodied what it means to be a true professional, a selfless patriot, who works tirelessly every day to keep this country safe. And so, without further ado, I welcome and express my personal appreciation and admiration for former FBI Director Bob Mueller. Thank you.
Well, thanks, John, and thank everyone for being here. There's one topic that was not on the agenda today that I thought I would spend a few moments talking about, and that's the intersection of law enforcement and intelligence. Before I do that, though, I want to a little story about introductions. That was a wonderful introduction, John. I have not gotten through all my introductions as well as you did. I had occasion, because I know there are persons here have worked in a number of administrations. Many of you worked with Colin Powell. So on one occasion, I had Colin Powell over to talk to our special agents in charge who were having a meeting here in Washington over at the Marriott across the bridge. And he's coming to get me as the lunchtime speaker. He comes in the rear and somebody sees him and everybody gets up and claps wildly, gives him a standing ovation as well as should. He walks to the front, standing to the right. I come to the podium. When he gets up here, he gets another standing ovation. And so I start the introduction by saying, ladies and gentlemen, Colin Powell. He needs no further introduction, but he was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and the Secretary of State, Colin Powell. So Colin comes up to the podium.
You are listening to Real Talk, Real Gay.
Thank you.
for listening.